Concert and Serenity.
This is Nash on Radio Dead Air, and I'm sitting down with Adam Baldwin and Nathan Fillon, believe it or not. And also we have someone out from Radio, from Ain't It Cool News.
Holly Blaine
out from Ain't It Cool News. And they're giving us a few minutes of their time tonight.
We had a great time. You want to go ahead, Nate?
No, I just want to know, do we have to lean into this?
Oh, a little. Not much. It's pretty sensitive. I'll take it out.
All right. No, I was just going to say that we had a day and a half here at Dragon Con, and we've meeting a lot of wonderful people, great costumes. It's been really, the energy here this year has been just outstanding as far as I'm concerned. Not that I was here yesterday and I can judge it against anything, but everyone that I've met so far has just been so joyful and happy to be here.
Yeah, there certainly is a neat feeling of camaraderie here. Mm-hmm. I like watching the Halo guys walking down, shaking hands with the Lord of the Rings hobbits and whatnot. People
and
really coming together.
The Star Wars Stormtrooper treasure hunt that they were doing.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
The droid hunt.
They give you a name badge or a badge, and other Stormtroopers have to collect them, and whoever, they give you a ticket in return, and whichever Stormtrooper gets the most of them, it's like a treasure hunt for them, a scavenger hunt.
It's a card. It has a droid on it. If you've got one, a Stormtrooper in full costume can come up to you and say, "How long have you had these droids?" At which point you have to turn over your card. They'll give you a raffle ticket for playing. But you can play in character. You can get around. You can lap it up with them.
So that was fun.
Yeah, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
You just do the fancy hand trick and it'll all work out.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think they did it today, but usually during Dragon Con, the 501st, which is the name of that posse of Stormtrooper guys, they do like a mega parade with all of them together.
Nice.
And like, you know, five Darth Vaders and all these Imperial Guard. And one year, one guy had an MP3 player with a speaker mounted on the front of his web belt playing the Imperial March with 300 guys. And people were just like, oh! And they lost their minds watching that.
Sure.
It was really cool. Mm. We should have those kind of
things. Well, I guess obviously the first thing to bring up would be Serenity.
Please.
Can't talk about it enough.
It must have been just great to hear after what happened with the show that you'd be coming back to do the movie. And I've heard rumor that it's this is just the first of perhaps maybe more, or just...
Well, it's a dream come true to be back up in the air with Firefly Serenity as it is now. We were all heartbroken when it was knocked out of the air.
To say the least.
And... We are fortunate to have this chance at redemption. That's the only positive way that we can go forward and look at it. And the movie kicks ass.
It's pretty good.
It's really great.
I think
how
people are really going to
be
enjoy
in post, like doing all the effects of Zoic, the Emmy award-winning Zoic, I might add.
Well, fortunately, in the day and age of avid computer editing, the editors were able to edit as we went, so they have an assembly already, and. I think now it's just fine-tuning and music scoring and sound effects editing and visual effects and the Foley stuff. But they're way ahead of the curve with this one.
I sort of have a personal reason for asking this. The last 5 years in Austin, Terry from Ain't It Cool News has hosted a film festival called Butnumathon. It's a 24-hour film festival, and due to his various contacts in the industry, he's gotten some very cool films for us, like Pitch Black and Vin Diesel came before that even got released. Last 3 years, even though we had to keep quiet for 2 years, we got all the Lord of the Rings films early. And then last year we got Return of the King, and like Peter Jackson came by with the other two screenwriters.
Well, the support that we obviously...
We're really...
I understand where you're going.
I
the support that. The support that Ain't It Cool News has given to our show over the time that we were on is something that did not go unnoticed, and we appreciate the people that understood what we were trying to do. Don't even go there now.
But you said you were interested.
No, I got
one.
Okay.
So
we are. He just brought up something else.
Because that would be, you know, pretty.
You're tight on the short list. Put it that way.
Awesome. Because from what I understand, like New Line was not wanting to give Ain't It Cool fellowship.
Yeah.
We got the print that the next day was going to New York for like a 9/11 benefit,
right.
And we got to see it first, and they were a little hot about
well,
that.
Well, Hercules was on our set,
yeah,
and who was the other guy that was there? There were two people that came from your Ain't It Cool News. Hercules
Joe?
And
Joe.
the other guy. You'll work it out.
I can't think of it.
So they were there, and they had a good time, and they toured around, and they were able to interview Joss. And so those relationships are close.
Which is cool.
Yeah. No guarantees. I'm just the actor, but, you know, like I say.
You got to admit, Firefly's got to be one of the more unique ideas for a science fiction show. I mean, what happened when Joss approached you about the project?
I just started off basically as going in and meeting him to see if it was an audition process. Just walk in, and I mean, he was familiar with, I guess, who I was from my other work, and brought me in to meet him, and we got to talking about.
Were you in love with your role that you were auditioning for? Were you in love with the role like that?
I didn't see a script. I saw some sides. That's all I saw when I went to meet him, and it was a very short notice thing. But I understood the rhythm and the dialect immediately because it was from the kind of movies that my father took me to when I was young. So I think that. Yeah. Well, I was a big fan, a big Warren Oates fan, Eli Wallach fan, guys like that. Strother Martin.
That guy.
Yeah.
Eli Wallach.
So it rang my chime. So I think there was that synergy with Joss from the get go. But it was a straight on audition process, and then I had to go test for the network. Nate got the straight offer, though.
Not so much.
That's what you told me.
Yeah, I told you that, but that's really what happened.
Ixnay on the offer A.
I had a deal with 20th Century Fox, and they were going to try to help me find a job. And they put me on a meeting with Joss Whedon. At that time, there was no script available. There was just a treatment, which is basically a play-by-play of what's going to happen in the script that has not yet been written. And I was in love. Right off the bat, I was in love, and I didn't even know how they spoke yet. Just from a line here or there, I thought, this is the greatest show. And I had a ton of questions, and I went to Joss Whedon, and this is a man who, when he creates something in his mind, leaves no stone unturned. He's got every detail, and I was in. I wanted it so bad. I fell in love then, right then. Before I even got the audition, I was in love.
Now, these are very intense characters, though. Got the gamut, Captain and Jane. How much input did you have in their development, and how much was just on the writer's side of things?
Well, we had zero input,
pretty much.
That's true. Joss and his writing staff on the show. They would break stories in their story meetings, and it would come to us fully formed. And there was really no time for actors in the middle of production of one episode to start putting input. You have an 8-day schedule, which is actually a good amount of days for. I've worked on some where we have 6, and that's a nightmare. So 7 is good, 8 is a luxury, but that's still cranking it out. So you don't have time for the actors to start changing things around too much, unless you're gonna start getting 12, 30, 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. calls on Friday.
Let us go home.
Which is a nightmare. The golden rule of television is that you want to have a 7 a.m. Friday call.
You're out. Yeah.
That means all week you've been on schedule and you haven't pushed the crew too much. You've been doing 12-hour days, and everyone's morale stays high that way. You start grinding people into the dirt because, for whatever reason, there are many reasons, then morale starts to sink in after a very short period of time, and then the quality of the show suffers.
I think there's also a danger of empowering actors.
That's true, too. You don't want to empower actors.
Don't empower actors.
I know you come from an improv / smart-assy background, because I know Mark Meer and those guys, and he mentioned that last year. He told me about the Serenity movie last year when you told him and said, shh, keep it on the quiet, because it hadn't been really... printed yet.
I told him to keep it quiet, and he told you?
Yeah, and I kept...
I see.
Uh-huh. He knew I was doing it, but I didn't say a damn word. And so, lo and behold, I had to pretend surprise months ago. But I was like, oh, I knew about that last year. But I was glad that it was so far back that they had already known. They knew it was going to go forward. It just took a while to get all the stuff up and running.
Yeah.
My own background is a lot based in theater and improv, and I know it's frustrating when actors have to do exactly just the lines that are written. And, you know, you have, like, gaggy moments. But is it because the script is so tight, or are some people just such control freaks that there is no option to go over that line?
Well, the former applies to Joss. The script is tight. When when we receive it, it's tight, and the story is complete, and the character's dialogue is well-formed, and every character that's featured in either the A-line or the B-line is highlighted appropriately. Everyone has a full arc developed through that. So that's not a bad thing. I think that's a great thing. It frees the actors up to concentrate on the work
of
bringing their extra stuff and not have to screw around with, that's not a comfortable way to say that, so I need to worry and spend energy fixing this scene and the dialogue, and that just takes away from your energy of making it click. And if you're delivered a script like Joss will do that's complete and the dialogue is appropriate for all the characters and all the angles, and the story has a beginning, middle, and end, and you don't have to worry about rhythms. You surrender to his vision, and you go with it. To me, it's very freeing. It makes the actors feel very comfortable. Now, the responsibility is that you have to say it word perfect, which is a challenge.
You had the Spanish, English, Chinese dialects throughout. How difficult was that?
Learning a line phonetically?
Not too hard.
Not very.
If it was long passages, there were some guys who, like Alan, who had a lot more trouble.
Alan couldn't do it.
Alan had trouble. Jane didn't have too much Chinese. It was like a screw you here and a humping dog there and all that kind of crap.
Dung Ma here.
Dung Ma, yeah, Dung Ma. Right. There were some other characters that had more of it, so it didn't affect me.
I had a lot of trouble saying the explosive diarrhea of an elephant.
Yes.
A lot of trouble saying
it. Really, it just didn't flow off the tongue.
Couldn't.
It's a terrible visual.
It's not a slippery phrase.
No.
I know you guys can't say too much plot point wise, but I had some people ask me things they would like to ask. Is there anything that would have maybe been continued in season one or maybe season two that you're going to see glimmers of in the Serenity movie?
Well, you'll see Reavers. I think everyone knows that by now.
We'll finally actually see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Actually, I got to look at some dailies of a Reaver.
Are they creeptastic?
It was so frightening. And it's just me watching it, and it's no sound effects. It's just, it's in context. Already action, he goes. And I'm thinking this is going to give some children nightmares.
Yeah.
Simply, I mean, it's PG-13.
It's a guaranteed PG-13, so they may soften the blow there a bit. There'll be PG-13 Reavers.
Nothing soft about that Reaver, man.
Hardcore PG-13.
But I mean, it was on TV already, and psychologically it was more scary because you didn't see...
I'm a big fan of off-screen violence.
I mean, I'll watch some Kill Bill, but to see like some Hitchcock.
Yes.
You know,
agreed.
We don't really see
let the audience's mind create the horror. And Joss is very good at doing that. You'll see a completion, well, not necessarily completion, but a further explanation of the origins of River. And
is that the main story arc?
It is part of what the story will evolve. Certainly, it will include quite a bit of action and excitement and humor.
It's a very nice tap dance you just did.
Yeah.
Around that question.
Yeah. Well, you know,
the audience
doesn't want me to give away story, but I think the interesting things and the most provocative things coming out of the series, as far as I was concerned, were who's River, who's Book, who are these people, what are their origins.
Everybody else is pretty cut and dry when you look at it.
No, the movie will explain more in detail who these people are, certainly not all of them, and not in every way that people will want or expect. There were going to be twists and turns that Joss always throws in. When I read the script, I went, this is the best script I ever read. Not the best script I've ever worked on, the best script I've ever read. I must have only read 8.
But not a strong reader.
No.
His lips move.
Yeah.
He likes the Harry Potter books.
Read my lines, and everything in between is just
other people's
words. Blurry words.
We tried to resuscitate them, but...
Nicely done.
Yeah. No, hey, I... Again, this piece will be standalone. It will incorporate much many of the elements of all the characters from the series, and yet for those who've never seen the series, they will be enthralled.
They will understand. I know you guys all, the whole mass of you, were at Comic-Con a few months ago, and
yes,
a lot of our guys were out there as well. Our reception is not as many people because the ballroom couldn't hold that many, but I think it's been pretty enthusiastic because they had to move you up to the big room this morning for that.
Yeah, we got promoted.
Yeah.
From a small room to a big room.
That's the room James Marsters was in last year.
Did he fill it?
Yes, with the screaming fans. And that's
God bless him. I love James.
Well, that's another mention. Both of you have had
run-ins
in the Buffyverse.
Yeah.
You on Angel and you on the last season of Buffy. What was the feeling like? Was it known at the time that this was going to be the last season when you both came in? Or?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Joss asked me to come in to wrap up the last five episodes.
Okay.
Said, yeah, I'm in.
Well, I came on to Angel when before the cancellation came, but there were storm clouds. He wanted me to finish the season, thinking that there
I guess dressed like Michael Burns.
Oh my.
So
do you have fans? Do you have fans?
Yeah, there's been a couple of Serenity casts that I've seen. So exciting to say Firefly.
So go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that I knew that it was the end of the season, but I wasn't convinced that it was going to be canceled until I actually heard that it was canceled. On Firefly, we held out hope for the longest period of time until the official word came down. And that axe was kind of hanging over our head for the longest period of time.
Since we got picked up.
Yeah. And that was a hard thing to do, and yet it was a liberating feeling because we all pulled together as tightly as I've ever seen any crew. We knew we were under the gun. We knew we had to deliver the best shows that we possibly could. And the writers were all under that gun, the cinematographers, the actors. So that pressure, I think, improved the product. I think the final...
And yeah. I'll even add to that. I'll even say that once we did get canceled, it only got stronger.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, this is going to be really tough going back to work to finish off this episode knowing we're canceled. We had another 3-4 days of work left. And those 3-4 days, people chose to pull it all out and just be the happiest.
Which was the last one you worked on?
The message. People chose to just put their strong faces on and come to work and be happy and enjoy the last few days of what was a great group, a real good chemistry.
My through line through the hard days when our ratings were low and
switching time slots.
The rumors were coming.
I do have to say Fox is not kind.
Well, I'm not going to criticize.
No, you can't. We can't.
It's certainly not. It's not my place. I don't even pretend to know what goes on in the decision-making process of these things, and I don't want to because it doesn't interest me. What interests me is making good products. And we got debris. We got debris falling from above.
We want to talk about Surreal earlier. David Carradine was over playing piano before you got here. So
oh, really?
Fabulous.
Yeah. He plays with Chick Corea.
But my mantra was, this is something special. Let's appreciate it while we have it. Because the storm clouds were brewing, and we might get canceled, guys. Guys, and being the grizzled veteran of the crew, besides Ron Glass, he and I were kind of looking at each other like,
And Jewel State.
And Jewel State, of course, the youngest member of our cast. I just can't get over the fact that she's younger than Summer.
And has worked almost as long as you have.
From the womb, as
it's
it were.
True. She started when she was 6.
Yeah.
I grew up watching Ron
maybe half.
Barney Miller.
15, yeah. You know, just a little more than half, thanks.
Try not to make him any older, please.
This is my
25th year.
Happy anniversary.
Where were you when Joss came to you and said, we're getting back together, we're going to do the movie?
Oh, jeez.
Drunk by the pool?
I was working on a police show pilot. No, I was working on Mismatch. I was on Mismatch for NBC.
What year was that?
And then the pilot. I did a pilot. For Fox, the cop show pilot.
That was April of 03? March, April, May of 03?
Yes, around there.
Okay, so that's when Joss said there's some real strong interest here.
He wrote us all a really cool letter, which
very
I can't
cool
which
letter.
I can't share.
No,
but it expresses the struggle and just the positive, the silver lining in those storm clouds, if you will, that it was going to happen. He never gave up hope.
Yeah.
He was going to make this movie if he had to do it in his backyard. That's why I will say this to my dying day. Joss Whedon is a cinematic hero, as far as I'm concerned. This is a show. This has never happened before.
Well, Star Trek, this is
a show and a story that needed to be told, and he wasn't going to let the story die.
He could have done like a comic book novelization of it and gotten it out of his head, but he didn't want to do that.
Yeah, he would have made an animated film or a comic book series, but God bless Universal for having. They love the show. You know, there was Mary Parent over at Universal loved this show, and she pushed it through with Universal, and pushed it through, just made people aware of what it was. And the other thing that we all know and agree is that the fan base out there, the internet fan base to this show, saved it.
Craziness.
True. It didn't save it on television, but it saved it.
True.
I've done some poking around, and there's like 6,000 websites of this and that, and Nathan Fillion as tightpants.com, these sorts of things.
Because of the fan base out there and the realization that this show was something special, the DVD came out and was a hit.
Like hotcakes.
Yes. And it continues to sell.
The fan table has little golf tees.
Right.
That say, order Firefly at Amazon.com and go see Serenity the movie. Like, they printed all this, like, 5 pages of information on a golf tee to give out to people. And, they got the brown coats, shirts, and everything.
So, we brown coats, we cast members, are fans of yours. I wrote a thread on the original message board that was the title. We cast members are fans of yours, and always have been, always will be, because it's an intelligent fan base. This is intelligent television and filmmaking that deserves to continue.
Is there more of that and less real life with Paris Hilton and whatever her face is?
Yeah. Well, sex always sells, but Joss is a great writer and deserves to have his stories told.
And he has a good team of writers. I mean, coming up all the time with like Marty Noxon and all the other guys, and she's gone to be an executive producer and just a writer.
Yeah, I was talking with Julie Benz earlier about how what she was feeling about the future of episodic television right now with all this reality stuff that's barraging the airwaves.
Yeah. Well, Joss said to me this is the hardest. Joss said to me this is the hardest thing he's ever written, this screenplay, and I say to him this is the best thing I've ever read.
Well, it makes the struggle worth it.
So our goal was to put what he wrote down on screen, and I think we've accomplished that.
Yeah. You just finished last week, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
We sat in on dailies. You were there pretty much every day. I was there, I'd say, 75% of the time or more.
Do you guys get to do a lot of your own stunts, or are you just like, hey, well-paid guy who gets hurt a lot, go do it?
I don't do my own falls.
That's fine. You don't want to get broken.
I got a purple black on my ass from my holster that won't go away.
Did you sit on it wrong or fall?
Is it right there?
Yeah.
Oh, ow, quit it.
I did a bunch of my own stunts. My character, although he's the first guy to get into a fight and is not afraid of fighting, is also the first guy to get knocked around and beaten up. He's not into a fight because he knows he's going to come out the winner. He gets into fights and he comes out losing. He's just got anger to release. I think he's just an angry man, and that's one of his releases. But the stunt guys came to me at one point and said, listen, that first fight you do was really great. Now we're going to tailor to what you do best, and this next fight's going to be fantastic. I said, what is it that I do best? He says, you take a punch. Boy, you can really take a punch.
My favorite taking a punch guy is Harrison Ford. And he always
and
has that's, been.
And I take my inspiration from him. I like watching Harrison Ford.
He gets punched in the arm in Indiana Jones with the bullet. I was like, I know it's all fake,
right.
But he can take a punch, and you believe it.
Right. My favorite is when he takes a punch and he gets all wobbly-kneed. and he doesn't look like a hero taking a punch. Like, I can take it.
Yeah,
he looks like,
Bruce Willis.
I just got punched again.
Oh, yeah, and you did the whole dying thing in the one episode, so.
Yeah.
There's that.
Yeah.
There's that.
Handled that very well.
Thank you.
Bleeding.
But yeah, I've had my nose broken three times. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've had my nose broken three times, and I know, like, how it sucks to take one in the face. So, people who can sell it, I very much appreciate it. But, you know, just like...
Now, you've got a considerably larger budget for 2 hours, as opposed to, you know, a budget stretched over an entire season. There's a lot of work that Serenity was redone for the movie.
We built it from scratch.
It all got torn down a year and a half
ago. There was nothing left of the open... Alan stole the button, and Lonnie from Zoic, the special effects team, borrowed one of the doors, one of the sliding doorways.
Pretty big thing to borrow, you know.
It was just gonna go in the garbage heap.
Yeah.
He used them to separate two of the offices at his Zoic establishment, so that they'll always have a little piece of Serenity there. But otherwise, the whole thing had to be built from scratch.
With considerably larger amounts of money this time.
There's
a lot more detail for the bigger screen, and the lighting and the camera work allows a lot more depth and time that they had to set it all up. Which is not to say that Jack Green's a quick guy. His team works very fast. We were very ambitious in our setups for a major feature film. The dedication early on was to the action sequences out on locations.
Planning was tricky.
And I think those days when we were shooting film was when everyone pulled together. They're some of the most fun days I've ever seen on a movie, because we all knew what the stakes were. We have to deliver these 2 weeks of location work on these days. Everyone was there on time, everyone was prepared, everyone rocked. They had planned this major sequence of stuff. They'd animated the whole thing on how to shoot it. Not only did they animate what you would see on screen, they animated what the equipment behind the scene was doing. And they showed that to each crew member, each key crew. This is where you will be while we're doing this shot. So everyone knew where to be and how to work.
I kind of wonder if they took some of their cues for that sort of speedy work from stuff that Peter Jackson did in all the Lord of the Rings films, because he had to have all that stuff.
Sure.
There was no screwing around on that set. You know, you had to be bam bam with so much work. And getting inspired by it can be done. You can knock a location out.
Yeah. Lonnie Prester at Zoic went ahead and just animated the whole darn thing. He didn't render it completely,
blocky or...
Like,
are these whiskers here?
No. That's them whiskers is expensive.
Well, is there going to be a Serenity video game? I don't know how you could make a video game out of it, but so many of the big films nowadays have them. Oh.
Sorry, I went to E3 with some of the Firefly, the Serenity people, and I was party to some meetings between some kids who developed a video game engine. Wanted to talk about developing video games. It was very exciting to just kind of see just the beginnings of the rumblings of video games. I hope it's great, whatever the video game may be. I hope it's Xbox, and I hope it's great. Xbox, if you're listening, I need Halo 2 in advance.
Specifically, a care of Universal Studios.
Fabulous. Care of Mutant, care of Mutant Enemy.
Sorry,
would you do the voices for that?
Who's going to do Jane besides me?
Because Robert De Niro's done voices in some games. So it's not unheard of, but some people, they want to distance themselves from that sort of, that's a kid's game.
My favorite voice in a video game so far is Adam Baldwin in Killswitch.
Thank you. Pimp.
Yeah, there's no way I'd let somebody else do Mal for my video game.
For me?
Hell no.
It's not like you get the, you couldn't necessarily get the emotional depth necessary, and it isn't necessarily necessary. For a video game.
Right, or the mild retardation of Jane.
Yeah, you can't just convey that on bits of data. Smash it. Aw, now he's not your friend.
Listen, that's a compliment.
That's mild.
He's gonna pull you.
No, he's mildly retarded like you can.
Wait, let me see something. Hold on.
You got it.
Are you shedding?
No. I thought that was a hair that you had plucked and it was gonna hurt.
I thought it was a hair. I was really gonna hurt. Yeah. Darn.
Because it was once described, the train ape without the training.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a question someone had asked me to ask the when you're naked on the rock, because you love that scene. Is that a tattoo or a birthmark?
Well, it's a tattoo.
And what is it of, if you will tell people? Not, if not, that's cool.
It's something I did when I was 19 and I regret. I mean, I'd rather be clean. I'd rather just be clean. Well, I don't want my grandkids looking at me going, what's that? It's just a, it's nothing.
What is it?
It's a peace symbol that kind of got freaked out, and Disney kind of designed it up a little bit, and some Egyptian hieroglyphics.
So it has no sentimental value anymore?
Oh, I'm big on Egypt. I'm big on Egyptian culture and how they were so incredibly advanced and really wonderful and amazing, and poof, we know nothing about them, and they're completely gone and erased, and we couldn't read. I mean, they were so advanced and yet disappeared. You know what I mean?
Like the Mayans and the Cambodians.
Exactly. That kind of thing tickles me, and that kind of stuff has always interested me. Enough to go to Egypt? No. But enough to tattoo it on my ass? Yes.
Yay, ass guy. I had a couple things. What are you guys doing next? Aside from adding downtime as the movie comes out and then you're on Circuitville. Like, do you have anything coming up?
NBC Universal is very good at Circuitville.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying
it's a bad thing. We have probably the best promotional arm. That's another advantage.
Maybe on Leto, Conan.
Well, if they so choose, I'll go wherever they tell me to go. And be honored to do it. I do want to get on The View.
Dude, we're joking about that?
You're saying that.
Oh.
Star Jones would be all over you, like white on rice.
It's
political.
No, no.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I love women.
You got some right wing.
No, never. Never, 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 never.
Eye rolling for those who can't see this.
Never, 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 never. No, I like those girls. No, women.
They're womenist.
Women, women.
Ladies.
Ladies, yes.
I don't
no, Barbara Walters, sort of big fan. what was the question again?
What are you guys doing next? You're just next. Chilling for a few months until...
I'm leaving tomorrow for South Africa to do the remake of the Poseidon Adventure for Hallmark Channel. It's a miniseries.
That's great. I love that movie.
With Rutger Hauer and Steve Guttenberg and Armanda Sante and C. Thomas Howell.
Quite a wacky little cast together.
It's a wacky cast, and I'm really, really looking forward to working with Rutger Hauer.
What are you playing?
I am playing Homeland Security Officer. This time the boat tips over because of...
Commies?
Terrorists.
Thank you.
Aw, I thought it was commies.
Commies? No, commies.
What's so 1980s?
Which kids? Commies.
Commies. Oh, commies.
Oh, well, Ronald Reagan got rid of them. Go on.
No, it was just poor planning on the
stop politics. No politics.
All right, what about you, Nathan? What do you got coming up?
I just finished 3 months of working 12 to 15 hour days. I'm tired.
Xbox, if
I'm
you're
not
listening.
Looking forward to Xbox, if you're listening, I'll be sitting on my ass playing Halo, waiting for Halo 2. We have a weekly tournament. BJ, Marisa, Corey, Patty, me, and Alan Tudyk.
Red versus Blue fan?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
I love Red versus Blue.
I don't know who those guys are, and I don't know how they did it, but they did a nice job.
That is wonderful, wonderful, weird.
But we have a weekly Halo tournament at my friend's house where we get together. There's six of us. We're all adults. We're all completely sane and reasonable. But when it comes to Halo, we're at each other's throats. At which one time someone threw a box of Girl Scout cookies at someone out there. Got out of hand.
Anarchy, anarchy.
Over this computer game that we just love to play. Every week we get together at 6:30, we have dinner, we have a nice chat, we socialize. It's about 7 o'clock, 7:30 rolls around, we're playing Halo till midnight. It's brilliant, and we look forward to it every week.
It's a cool tradition. We just have wacky improv. Okay. I don't want to take up any more time, and everybody wants to go. You've got to go, especially to Africa, long trip tomorrow.
I'm cool.
If you guys are cool
just
with talking more,
tonight.
Then...
If you have more questions,
I have silly questions from silly people.
I'm not familiar with yours, but your website's very cool, and I've spent time lurking there and reading there.
I've heard
so
it as such.
I would be happy to.
Yeah. I've known Harry about
You've heard as such?
Years.
What do you mean? There are rumors?
That might have been really Adam Baldwin on there, on the chat room, or posting something on a topic. That sort of thing.
Me on a chat room? Never. Rarely.
Sexy
okay,
girl 17. Blah, blah.
Yeah, that's me. That's my handle.
ASL dot?
Yeah.
Yeah, shut it. Silly question. Why are there so many hookers in the future? I didn't ask you. It's not for me. you guys have any theories to expound on this?
I don't know about so many, but it's legalized. I mean, how many hookers are there now? Are there that much more in the future? I don't know. I mean, it's legalized and it's licensed and they're educated. I think if anything, the situation's been improved.
Germany or Amsterdam?
Are they educated there?
Well, they get.
Are they trained?
Well, they're like old school courtesans, like in the medieval Renaissance.
Yeah, see, I don't consider Joss's portrayal of them as hookers.
No,
to be
my parents being
No, they're courtesans. They're traditional courtesans. They are trained providers of pleasure.
Well, there's a lot of different historical periods kind of merged due to the fact that the planets sort of drift out and they get more backwards as you go. And you have a place like Angel, that planet, which is very modern, and then you go further out, more frontier, so it's a lot of it just kind of crushed together.
Ariel,
sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. Angel is different.
You didn't follow
I know.
Planet Buffy, because that would be...
Still in the Buffyverse, you're cool.
This may not be able to be answered with movie secrecy, but where are your characters going in the film? Can you tell us like what sort of, not necessarily plot-specific things, but maybe emotional development? Are some people going to become perhaps a little more emotionally mature?
Tell me about the emotional development of Jane.
For you too, Mr. Smart Guy. He's got a very nice gun, I'll have you know.
Sorry.
I think there's basic human elements in any character that you play, if it's going to be honest. And for Jane, his superficial goals are very much rugged individualism, money, sex, freedom from authority, and a little more sex. So. But everyone, the platinum, the most important thing for humans is love. Which is not to say that Jane ever becomes a softie, but what drives humans, I don't care who they are, is their search for a legacy, a place. Leave your legacy. You can leave a legacy of cash. Nobody really cares about you.
You leave a hospital in your name.
Yeah. It's your connections to the people that you are with. This doesn't happen in this movie so much with Jane.
We noticed a little bit.
It's a subtext that, you know, I as an actor try to choose to play. And Joss is bring it back, Adam. You don't love anybody. That's not going to work for this character.
So. We saw a touch of a little bit of a turning point. The scene you both were in where you almost got spaced, and that was a very intense one.
Yeah.
What was that one like to do?
Well, like I said at the panel, it was the hardest scene physically and most challenging scene I had to do with all the dust and stuff. Emotionally, it was, well, who is this guy? And does he really care? Why does he care? And he really cares what Mal thinks. Because Mal, to Jane, represents, as far as I'm concerned, it's respect for self. It's respect for an ideal of honesty, of honor. Honor, more so than honesty. It's just honor among men. And I crossed the line with Mal that I know in hindsight I shouldn't have, that it was a stupid mistake. And yet he's willing to relent and surrender to, I deserve to die for this.
Does Jane fear to be judged?
Only by Mal, I believe, at this point. Because you gave me in the episode of Out of Gas, a safe harbor. You improved my quality of life from where I was with those rapscallion, scruffy men that I had to sleep with.
In your own room.
In my own bunk. Darn it. Put me on a boat with really hot chicks and guns.
Run around all half naked.
Naked. All around all sweaty and naked. So, for that, Jane is always beholden to Mal, and he doesn't want the responsibility of being in charge of a ship. So he knows he fucked up by crossing Mal. He didn't care about crossing River. He didn't care about crossing Simon. They weren't part of the crew, as far as he was concerned, until Mal set him straight up.
So,
like I said, and I'll say this in my life, the allegory, and then I'll be done, and it's your turn, is that on this show, Nathan Fillion was the man who carried the bulk of the work on his shoulders in my department, the cast. His work was far more intense, the workload was far more heavy, and he pulled it off with grace and humor and class that kept us all laughing and responsible and dedicated to making Firefly the best thing we could as far as the cast goes to go.
That's
so, again, Nathan Fillion, another one of my heroes.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a guy to answer.
That's very nice. And Adam has said that more than once.
But I challenge his ass, too, every day. He makes me work hard, I make him work hard.
Absolutely.
And it's a great balance that way when we're together. So.
Absolutely.
Co-workers in theater, that sort of thing happens. You get that bond, and you're like, yeah, all right, I'll work for you, but I will push you and test you. And
it's great.
Yeah, and you get the give and take. And, like, in the theatrical world, things are pretty intense up to opening, and then everybody cools out, and then you got the whole show run, and then you may go your separate ways. So.
He's one of the few, this is why it's a family thing, because he is one of the few leaders in a cast that challenges the other actors to work harder and be better. And that I admire more than anything. He brings it every day. Be better. Make me be better.
Plenty of shows.
Oh yeah, make me be better. And everyone starts improving that way.
Yeah, yeah. You get that one guy, and it's a linchpin or a catalyst, however you want to look at it. I have a real quick question for you. I have referred to you for quite a few years, Nathan, as Minnesota Ryan.
Yes.
How was that? That's my own special nickname for
him. That was great. That was,
Because it wasn't like a big, you weren't fighting, you just had to show up and be really emotional in like 5 minutes.
Just had to. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It was in my first movie, I was very tense. Steven Spielberg film, scene with Tom Hanks, Ted Danson.
Saving Private Ryan.
World War II epic.
Yeah.
Never been to London. Never been to Europe. So I, first time, 9-hour time difference, couldn't sleep a wink. And there I am on set, and Steven Spielberg's telling me what I need to do. Start over there, come running over here, and I'll sit you down here, and I'll do this and this. Okay, and action. And I was tense, and I was nervous. I gotta say this, all the success that Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg have had is deserved. Those guys are gentlemen through and through. And I was a kid who knew nothing. I had no idea that scene was comic relief until I saw it in the theater and everybody laughed.
Because you're like, what the? Yeah.
I thought, oh yeah, I guess that is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But
you're all sad and crying.
For a first experience, there's a lot of firsts there, and I had a really good one.
How long were you over there filming that?
I was there for 5 days, and I worked for two.
And
that was
out.
It. Boom.
Done.
It was.
Is that what got
intense.
You your SAG card?
Epic.
No, I was in SAG long before that.
Okay. And then you could get into a feature without having it, but I wasn't sure.
The movie's an epic.
Yeah.
It was neat.
I cried the trailer for that thing. I saw the trailer, I was like, oh! Came out of it, a wreck.
Yeah.
Snuck into, after seeing Naked Gun 33 and a Third at the Dollar Theater in Colorado, snuck in and said, hey, let's go see Schindler's List after that. Not a really good idea. It was also the week OJ killed his wife, so that was just really weird seeing him on screen.
And wait a minute. He was acquitted.
Okay.
The gloves didn't fit.
No one takes into account the leather shrinks when it gets wet, but all right, we won't talk about that. So my friend and I came out
air.
From the theater just crying our eyes out.
My favorite cartoon that was in the papers, an editorial cartoon, was OJ on a golf green looking in the hole. And the caption is, nope, Cole's killer ain't in here. Caddy's holding the stick on.
Brutal. Yeah, that was a big damn judicial disgrace. Needless to say.
Next subject, off the record. Thank you. Take that all off.
Yes, that's fine. We'll ignore that first.
Delete.
But you can have a political opinion or an opinion on, or do you think it would not be prudent in Hollywood to have a...
Oh no, OJ killed it. Oh, he did it.
Okay, because I'm, you know, like, no need to fuss around here.
Nah, he did it.
Oh, yeah. And then he got another white woman, another silly white woman. Like, oh, no, he's innocent. And later, she becomes innocent. All crazy. But I don't know what else to pump you guys for, because I know you've had a long day. You've done, like, a zillion autographs at the panel and all this stuff. But if I do think of other things that I would like to add to the article, is there any chance to contact me, email, like, your agent or your publicist or something like that?
Yeah, here's my email, Jess. You can email me anytime.
Do you want this one on the air? Or?
No.
Okay.
La 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 la. Have to edit this one later.
I'll just write it down.
All right. Yeah, that's it. There you go. We write that down because we're not putting.
Because I have a.
No, you'll get like 12 million emails. Will you marry me?
I have an email interview coming up hopefully next week with Mark Frost, who directed Monsters Ball, and he has a film coming out called Searching for Neverland.
Yeah, Johnny Depp heard about
that. About a week and a half ago, they had a screening of it at one of my jobs, and I got to talk to him, and I continued via email. So some things I may not remember right now, but would like to be able to.
No, I'm slow on email.
And you'll be in Africa, so.
And I'll be in Africa. I mean, I have my laptop on.
So when is that projected to come out? Like, this Poseidon Adventure, like the end of the year?
It's a Hallmark. I don't know. It's going to be a four-hour miniseries.
I recently saw a documentary on the people who love the Poseidon Adventure. They're a little crazy. The original ones.
Yeah, my buddy says, Mark Shepard.
Is it this?
Oh, yeah.
The guy played Badger.
Okay.
He's he goes, you got that pond? That's cool. You going down there? That's great, man. Yeah, that's wonderful. You got to be good, you know, because they're gonna run it forever. okay.
You got to be like Christmas Story on TNT.
You better be good.
Oh, we gonna have Badger back for the film?
No comment.
Oh, okay.
And there'd be no on the Niska question, too, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah. There's no point in asking those. I don't want to
know. Mark Shepard is a very good, close friend of mine.
Ah.
Is that how you brought him in to the. Did you say, hey, Joss, my friend? Or did they
no,
cast
no, no.
him?
No. He got the part on his own. Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, Joss was supposed to play that originally, and, you know, he decided not to.
He fancied playing it. I don't know that was ever solidified.
Would his acting skills have held up?
Oh, God, he's a good actor.
He's great.
Joss is a great actor.
Okay.
He's great. At the read-throughs, he played Badger.
Oh, okay.
And he knew his part by heart. And, man, he was great.
Yeah, he brought it.
I would love to see him play a role.
English accent coming out of that guy.
I think at that time the decision was, you know what, just direct.
Yeah, he's already writing
and
directing.
Just direct the whole thing, okay? People keep asking, what's your favorite episode? And, you know, I keep coming back to War Stories, but then I go, well, Serenity was great, too.
Because it set everything up.
And Ariel was great. And Out of Gas was really good. Out of Gas has my favorite scene.
No, that's funny. I would have thought you would have thrown Jamestown in there.
No.
Is that too much hubris, maybe?
What's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was Jane's introduction to Mal.
Good scene.
I loved that scene. I mean, Ariel's a great scene in the airlock. That was the most challenging scene. I thought it was rocking. But it had all the humor and toughness and gruffness and, you know, it's just the way it was shot. It was shot with that kind of bleached out feel.
Yeah,
different
really bright,
era.
like such blacky bright.
That, you know, that kind of washed out feel. I love that.
And it just set up the entire relationship right there. You know, you got like 15 lines, and you know exactly how these guys are going to interact with each other.
Yeah. Plus that dining room scene, the birthday cake for Simon.
Yeah.
That's great. That we got to spend a couple of days just in that room all together, all the characters.
Hanging out.
Those are my favorite scenes when all there.
Because you get to connect. And
selfishly, you go, okay, what's my best scene? What's my me? We work for M.E., Mutant Enemy.
I had not made that connection. That's clever. Well, thank you very much for your email address. And it's really good to meet you guys.
Pleasure.
And
honestly.
I'll be yawning tomorrow. I'm sure.
Is there an upstate?
Oh, God, yes. That was great.
Yeah, I very much appreciate this. And I'll drop you a line with some more.
This has been National Radio Dead Air with Nathan Fillon and Adam Baldwin. And we're going to go back to some music now. Radio Dead Air.